This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hi guys, hope everyone's well and welcome back to the Improvement Podcast. So today I'm going to touch on training the hamstrings. And before that, quick update on myself. So I'm currently 175.2 pounds this morning and feeling the effects of dieting in the gym, I must admit. A couple of the sessions this week, I was a couple of reps down. And it is what it is. My consistency has been there outside the gym. I've nailed everything. I've slept 9 hours a night. I've been religious with my water, my food, stress management. I've done everything I can to the best of my ability. So it is what it is. Yes, you hear people say you don't drop strength when you're dieting, and oh, I progressed throughout my dieting phase, but it's different if you're competing on stage, if that makes sense, because of the level of body fat you're going to. As well as that, when you are competing on stage and getting to that level of condition as well, you're usually losing a bit of a larger amount over that time. And apart from that, so you can potentially get like a second wind of progression if you are starting a dieting phase just due to maybe not being as consistent beforehand. But sadly, that wasn't the case for myself. Felt sounding smug or that, but yeah, it's been pretty productive so far, and still chipping away on some movements, but for the most part, I am not going to be progressing a ton on the compound movements. It's more just retention, and if I do chase progressions and it just leads to my form getting worse, then that's just going to mean I'm probably not going to be able to put as great a stimulus on my muscle. I'm probably going to be at more of a risk for injury. So yeah, it's good just admitting when you can take progressions and when you can't, and just being sensible with it. And I'm not feeling too bad, a bit less energy, I'm a bit draggy, but it's bearable. Bit hungry, of course, but well, I've always got quite a high appetite, which is ideal if you're in a gaining phase, not if you're dieting. And everything's going pretty good though. The look's improving weekly, and AJ, my coach, is happy with it, so I'm happy with it. So jumping into the episode, so I'm going to touch on today the role of the hamstring, and in terms of knowing how to train a muscle, we first need to know the role of the hamstring. Or yeah, if we want to know how to train it effectively, we need to know what the muscle does. So when we're thinking about the hamstring, its role is to extend at the hips and also bend at the knee, or knee flexion in other words. So hip extension is basically going from being bent at the hips to straight at the hips, if that makes sense. Like maybe like a Romanian deadlift, it could be a stiff leg deadlift as well. It will be used during, let's say, like a back squat, especially a low bar back squat, not to the same extent, but will be used. And also things like a hyperextension, where you see people lean into those pads, if that makes sense, when they've got like a pad supporting their hip, and it's sort of like a sort of a similar movement to like a deadlift or that. So yeah, that's where we work hip extension, which is one of the roles of the hamstring, just basically straightening at the hips. And another role of the hamstring is basically knee flexion, so taking our knee from being extended to bent, which can be something like a hamstring curl. It's just yeah, your leg goes from straight to bent, basically. That's what the hamstring's responsible for. So a fairly lengthened hamstring, meaning a hamstring fairly stretched, is when both your legs are straight and your hip is flexed. So what does this look like? This looks like the bottom of a stiff leg deadlift or the bottom of a Romanian deadlift. That's your hamstring in the fully stretched position, which is why you feel that stretch quite significantly. Whereas a fairly shortened hamstring is the opposite. So an opposite of that would be your hips being extended, so not being bent at the hips. So your hips being, extended, if that makes sense. Like a line hamstring curl, and your leg being flexed, so your leg being fully bent. Which is why if you ever do a line hamstring curl, you feel a good squeeze on it, in other words. So, this kind of tells us what we should do in training the hamstring. So, movements that perform the above, like I said, a hamstring curl variation. So we can get knee flexion, train the knee in the bent position, or basically train the knee where we're working on the hamstring by bending the leg. And also a hip extension movement. So basically a Romanian deadlift, straight leg deadlift, hyperextension, something where we're straightening at the hips. That will train all roles of the hamstring, all responsibilities of the hamstring, and basically all jobs that the hamstring has. So it will basically cover our back and mean we're not going to be leaving progression and room on the table for hamstring growth, because we're doing all of its responsibilities, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I think if you want to maximise your hamstring development, you should have both, so you're training it in all positions it is worked in, if that makes sense. And in terms of hamstring curls, so I'm going to talk a bit about them, break them down, break down the difference between each hamstring curl, and give you some guidance on what one you might want to do and why. So when you think about a line hamstring curl, like I said, because you're not bent at the hips and because you can fully bend your knee, you are fully shortening your hamstring, you're fully contracting your hamstring. So why would you want to do this? Another good question to ask is, why wouldn't you want to do it? Why wouldn't you want to fully squeeze, fully contract the muscle and get the most out of it, if that makes sense? We do build muscle best in the middle and lengthened position, so when our muscle's stretched and in the middle of its range, if that makes sense. So that tells us we don't need a line hamstring curl, whereas a seated hamstring curl, that trains the hamstring in a bit of a stretched position more, because we are more bent at the hips. It won't be fully lengthened, maybe fully stretched, but it will get it pretty stretched. And ideally you want one of the two, just so you can isolate basically training the hamstring and focusing on flexing the knee flexion, which is one of the roles, like I said. But you don't have to do both, but I'd ideally recommend doing one. Not all gyms have both, but all gyms usually have one, which is ideal. And in terms of which one you may want to do, so studies have shown a seated hamstring curl leads to better muscle growth, and probably because, like I was saying, it is shown that we build muscle best in the middle and lengthened position of a muscle, which a seated hamstring curl does a bit more than a line hamstring curl. But saying that, it depends. Like if you're doing a deadlift variation, that will train the hamstring in more of a stretched position. So does it make sense to do like two movements in one session that train a muscle in its stretched position? Doesn't make a ton of sense just thinking about it. It's like, why would you do two movements that are gonna train the muscle in the same position? It's kind of like you've already done it once, why do it again when you can train the muscle in another position and tax it in a position that's not been in that session? That's how I look at it. So that kind of lends itself to maybe being a good idea to do a line hamstring curl if you're doing like a deadlift variation in the same session. But saying that, if you don't have access to a line hamstring curl, it's completely fine. But yeah, at least do one. If you've got both, you could do one on each leg session, or one when you're training like pull and one when you're training legs if you only have one leg session. And if you only want to do one, something to consider is which one can you lock into and progress the best. So for example, if when you're doing a hamstring curl variation you can't keep still at all, if you're on the line hamstring curl and you can't keep your hips flat and you feel like you're just recruiting a lot of lower back, then you might want to just do a seated hamstring curl. Because a seated hamstring curl, you can lock in a bit better, because most seated hamstring curls clamp your legs down, which can be great to keep locked in, to keep nice and stable, and to get full output out your hamstring, meaning take it all the way to failure. Because some lying hamstring curls just aren't designed great, and it's really hard to stay stable and get the most out of your hamstring without other things moving about, which isn't ideal if we're trying to isolate a muscle. So yeah, that's something to consider as well, because yes, on paper one might be better than another, but if the one that may potentially be better than another, it's really hard for you to perform and lock in, and maybe you have a rubbish machine, then is that the best option for yourself? Maybe not. So yeah, but I'd always recommend doing some sort of hamstring curl. And what you should be focusing on when you're doing a hamstring curl is basically keeping everything still except the knee joint. So the reason why is because what are we trying to do to a hamstring? We're trying to contract our hamstring. And what does that? Bending at the knee. Not moving our upper body about, not throwing our hips about. That's not going to help. That's going to involve other muscle groups, because your hamstring's job isn't to throw the hips about. So keep nice and stable, keep everything set in stone, create as much tightness as you can through bracing, meaning take a big breath in, through maybe if you're doing a lying hamstring curl, pulling yourself forward and down is a great tip, and also keeping your core tight. And also focusing on driving your heels up, because if you drive your heels up, you will drive your thighs into the like pad, which will mean they won't move. You'll be nice and stable at the hips and at just above the knee, which is ideal. However, if you are doing a seated hamstring curl, what I'd recommend to make sure you're nice and stable is, if you've got one where you get the thigh pad that clamps down on your leg, focus on either pushing yourself up and away from that. And that's called creating a counterforce, which just means you're pushing yourself the opposite direction the weight's trying to push you or pull you. Because if you think about it, if you didn't do that, then the machine's going to move you. Because as you get stronger at it, it's going to be hard to keep in the same spot. And if you're moving about on the seat, you're not going to be able to train your hamstring well and lock in and take it all the way to failure. So yeah, I always recommend creating that counterforce or pushing yourself the opposite direction the machine's going. Because we know if we're more stable, we can produce more force, which simply means we can lift more. With good form, of course. So, if we've got a hamstring curl variation, what I'd also recommend is a deadlift variation. So, the reason we want a deadlift variation, like I said, is because one of the roles of the hamstring is to extend at the hips. So basically going from like being bent over to upright. And because we want to be doing that movement, a good exercise shouldn't do a lot of other things, if that makes sense. For example, a normal deadlift, yes, we're bending at the hips and we're extending at the hips, so we're doing what the hamstring wants to do to basically grow, or yeah, we're doing what the hamstring's job is, in other words, but we're also doing other things like straightening the leg, bending the knee. We're also, yeah, we're doing other, we're working other body parts as well, because we're doing other actions. Like if we are bending and extending at the knee, and that's basically going to recruit our quads, in other words, like a normal deadlift. So we don't need to isolate hip extension, meaning bending and extending at the hips, but we should keep other things to a minimum. So a good example is doing a straight leg deadlift instead of a conventional deadlift, because we know we're not going to move our knee as much, and or we're not going to bend and extend at the knee as much, so we're not going to use our quad as much, which is ideal if you're wanting to get the most out of your hamstring. So that tells us, yeah, doing something like a straight leg deadlift, maybe a Romanian deadlift. You could argue on paper, maybe, what's it called? I forgot the movement. It just went right out of my head. I can't remember it for the life of me. But yeah, maybe like a hyperextension, and I can't remember the movement. You get a movement where you put the barbell on your back like a squat, but you just focus, a good morning, and you focus on pushing your hips back. that's going to train your hamstring a bit better because it's not going to involve a lot of other things. And is it bad if it involves a lot of other things? Not really. There's nothing wrong with working other muscle groups, but if you're purely trying to work the hamstring and you've got weak hamstrings and you've struggled to build them in the past, then I'd probably try and get something that's going to use them a bit more than a conventional deadlift sort of thing. So yeah, in terms of the standing hamstring curl, that's something I never touched on. So if you've got the luxury of having your choice between a seated hamstring curl, a lying hamstring curl, and a standing hamstring curl, like I do, what I'd recommend is, or what my opinion on the standing hamstring curl is, sorry, I can't get my words out very well today, is it's pretty similar to the lying hamstring curl when we think about it. So when you think about the position of your body when you're doing a standing hamstring curl, your body's in a similar position, but instead of lying down, you're simply standing up. But you're not bent at the hips, you're quite straight at the hips. The only difference is you've not got gravity pushing you down on the lying hamstring curl, because you're not lying on something, you're standing. And the problem with this is it's harder to keep your hips stable because you've not got yourself pushing your hips into the pad. You can't do it as much when you're standing. And this basically means it's harder to keep your hips in the same spot, which means your hips might move and you might incorporate your lower back, which you don't want during the movement. So that can be something negative about the standing hamstring curl. But yeah, to conclude, so because the hamstring basically crosses over our hips and crosses over our knee, it means it's got two actions, which means it helps us, basically its role is to bend the knee and also it's to extend the hips. So bending the knee is like when you're touching your heel to your bum when you're doing that, and bending the hip is when you're standing up on a deadlift or a straight leg deadlift. So that's actions we want to replicate during our training. So this means it's basically good to have a hamstring curl in our training. If it's a lying, if it's a seated, if it's a standing, we should try and do one, and we should try and keep everything set in stone and only move at our knee. And also, to train our hamstring in the stretch position of deadlift variation is usually a good idea, and that will basically let us, train it in the position that's stretched, the muscle is stretched, which is usually where we build muscle best, so it makes sense to do so. So if you have one of each, meaning one like deadlift variation and one hamstring curl variation, you're probably going to be sorted in terms of training the hamstring, getting hamstring growth. That's all you really need. So yeah, I hope this episode was valuable. As always, let me know if you'd like to see ones on any certain topics, and if you did enjoy it, please feel free to like, subscribe, share it on your story, and leave me a rating and review if you can. So I hope everyone has a great weekend if they're watching this or listening to it on the weekend. If not, have a great week.